three curious stories. Don't get to use that word very much. Curious stories are our focus today. They're all found in the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, actually. I don't know why I said Mark. Matthew, if you want to read and follow along in a Bible in your own hands. The first story is from Matthew chapter 12. And it's just a moment. There's an instant that I just love about this story, and I'll point it out to you. Jesus and his disciples are walk through a grain field. Happens to be the Sabbath day. And they pause because they get hungry. And when they get hungry, the disciples break off some heads of grain for a snack. Right? So you got the picture. They're walking through the grain field. They're hungry. They break off some grain. Tension arises in the scene, though, not because they're walking through a field or because they break off grain that might belong to somebody else. Maybe it's some farmer's field. No, that's not the reason tension arises in the scene. The tension arises because Jesus' nemesis, the Pharisees, are looking on. Okay, remember the Pharisees, they're the mucky mucks, they're the religious hot shots, the big shots. And they're watching. They happen to be watching when the disciples break off this grain. Legalists that they are, they say to Jesus, this is verse 2 of chapter 12. Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Your disciples, we just saw it, are breaking the law. Jesus' answer to their objection, and this is the stuff you just can't find anywhere else, is priceless. So let's pay attention to it. It starts in verse 3 of chapter 12 of Matthew. Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God, and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." What's all that mean? Jesus says, my disciples broke grain off in that field over there because they were hungry. Just like David did when he was in a temple and there was sacred bread there set aside just for worship, but they got hungry, and what'd they do? They ate some bread. What a delightfully practical response. They ate on the Sabbath because they were hungry on the Sabbath. Get it? It's priceless. Now, there's more, though, because at the end of the scene, Jesus says, you Pharisees don't understand the scripture that says God doesn't want your sacrifices, God wants your mercy. Translation, God doesn't want you to enforce every syllable of the law, every sort of consonant in the syllable of the law, if by doing so you miss out on the really important thing, and that is making a difference in people's lives. If your implementation and execution of the law is so precise that you fail to be merciful, that you fail to be holy, that you fail to change somebody's life for the better, then you're missing it. You're missing the point. The Pharisees thought they knew right from wrong. They were well-trained, right? They were the intelligentsia of the religious era in Jesus' time. There was a law in what we call the Old Testament that commanded the execution of people who worked on the Sabbath. If you don't believe me, look, this is from Exodus 35. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day must be put to death. Okay? So these big shots, these intelligentsia people knew and believed that they had Jesus dead to rights. The disciples had violated the law. The problem was the Pharisees didn't understand what it means to be holy. And they didn't understand the fullness of this notion of being righteous, of doing the right thing. All right, so we got three stories, and I'm spending a little more time than usual talking about stories today because they make points that we just have to hear. The second story is in Matthew 15. Or the other two stories actually are in Matthew 15, if you want to turn there. The first of the other two is quite similar to the story that we just read, at least in its final conclusions. More Pharisees, this time, they asked Jesus why his disciples don't wash their hands before they're eating. Before they eat. Now, this is not the kind of like personal hygiene stuff, or what's that praline? What's that? What's the pearl? Perel. Yeah. You got to think she would know it. This Purell stuff, yeah. It's not like ritual cleaning. It's not like hand sanitation cleaning. This is like a ritual cleaning, a religious ritual thing that the Pharisees were asking about. In response, Jesus says, they don't wash their hands in allegiance to some religious practice. But you know what you guys don't do? And I'm paraphrasing the story. We'll read the next one. But you know what you don't do? You don't tell people to honor their fathers and mothers. Oh, you say it's there, but you don't do it when you have a chance. Because you say to people, go ahead and use some of that money, which you could be giving to your parents for their care in their adult years and their senior years. You take some of that money and go ahead and do with it, or give it to the temple, or give it to somebody else. As a result, you don't honor your father and mother. That's what's going on here, gentlemen. So you violate the commandments of God because you don't understand what it means to be holy. You don't understand what it means to do the right thing. So the Pharisees again are saying, hey, there's a law over here that you're violating. And Jesus says the problem is not their violation. The problem is you. So two stories, they deliver basically the same punch to the Pharisees who think they're so good. And the third story is from Matthew 15 as well. And we're going to read it, and I want you to see, maybe you'll see what I see. Or hear what I hear when we read it. It's in chapter 15, and starting with verse 21. Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." And we're going to stop here just for a moment. Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Isn't that something? Now, we're not done yet. The story's not done yet. Isn't that something that's an amazing scene? This Gentile woman, and that just means she wasn't Jewish. Okay, we have Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews. She wants her daughter healed, and Jesus doesn't want to do it because he thinks his mission is only to the Jews. And she's not a Jew, and therefore he can't help her. Now, that's the conflict. In the last two stories, when there was a conflict between Jesus and somebody else, who won? Well, Jesus won, right? by pointing out that the problem was with their understanding of holiness, righteousness. The problem was them, not whoever else. If the educated and the powerful Pharisees were humbled by Jesus when they tried to sort of one-up him and say, hey, you're forgetting this, you're violating this law. If the educated elite, the religious, religiously knowledgeable Pharisees were humbled by Jesus, well then what's going to happen to this poor Gentile woman in her contest with Jesus? When we left the conflict at its emotional high point, Jesus has just compared the woman and her Gentile kind to dogs. Okay? Right? That's basically what he's just done. Here's her response in verse 27. She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." Pretty good comeback, don't you think? Jesus is impressed. He says, "My daughter and I might be dogs, but we're deserving dogs." And if you read the next verse in the chapter, you'll see Jesus commends her faith, and instantly her daughter is healed. Who wins the contest in this conflict between Jesus and this woman? It's the woman. Because she reminds us. She reminds us that mercy isn't just for one group of people, it's for all groups of people. It isn't just for people who look like you, or sound like you, or walk with you, or worship with you, who are acting according to your expectations. Mercy, the mercy that Jesus came to communicate, the mercy that Jesus came to deliver, was intended for everybody, even people who weren't like him. His mercy was for all people, she and her daughter included. To be merciful, to be righteous, meant to reach the world, not just your own kind. Right? That's the upshot of this encounter, this confrontation between Jesus and the woman. All right, so three, I call them curious, and I'll stick with that word, three curious stories from the Gospel of Matthew, each of which has a conflict that resolves with somebody getting a better picture of what it means to be merciful, what it means to be righteous, what it means to be holy. And what's that big picture? Righteousness and holiness, those are big words, right? Those are like religious words. Those are the words that you learn in Sunday school, or maybe if you're awake during the sermon. Righteousness and holiness are about are not about following rules or commands. They're about obedience to God that results in making a difference in somebody's life. It was okay for the disciples to eat grain on the Sabbath day because it made a difference to somebody's life. Hungry people were fed. That was okay. And it was okay for the Pharisees, it was not okay for the Pharisees to authorize the taking away of money from parents in parental care in order to give it to the temple. Because people who needed care, who deserved care, didn't get it because of their action, and that wasn't right. And it was okay for Jesus to heal the Gentile woman's daughter because that's what mercy does. Mercy doesn't look at the appearance of the person. It doesn't look at the address of the person, the geographical home of the person. Mercy looks at the godliness of the person, godly childlikeness of the person. That's a hard word. I spent more than usual time unpacking stories today because the message I have for you, the word I have for you, is really simple. It's not going to take a whole lot of processing in your CPU, onboard CPU. As you live your life this week, check your righteous impulses. Are you one of those by-the-book people? You know, the thou shalt this and thou shalt not that, and you know, you do things because you're told to, or you were told to. or somebody preached to you, one of those people who says, the Bible says you're not supposed to do that, so I'm not going to do that. Are you one of those people who defines holiness on the basis of what somebody taught you in Sunday school? Well, good. That's a great start. But understand from our today's stories that righteousness and holiness are not about words on paper or words talked to you from a sermon or a Sunday school lesson. They're about lives of the people at the other end of the transaction. Righteousness and holiness are characteristics of life. They describe our relationships with the world. They're not rules of engagement. They are characteristics of relationships. So as you think about your righteous impulses this week and the decisions you make about the needs of that you encounter, ask yourself, what is my impulse? Is it to meet the need or is it to follow a rule? In the grain story, the first one we visited, Jesus told the Pharisees they needed to learn what it means that Scripture, God doesn't want sacrifices, God wants mercy. What does that mean? It means sacrifices were made because there was a scriptural mandate for it. Okay, here's a rule that says you have to make a sacrifice, and so we better make the sacrifice. Mercy is not a rule. It's a desire of the heart to change the life of somebody. Right? It is a desire of the heart, not an impulse based on something that's written on a piece of paper. This week, think about these important words, mercy, righteous, and holy. And every time you come into a circumstance, ask yourself, what does it mean in this moment for me to do the right thing? For me to show mercy, for me to pursue justice, for me to do kindness. As followers of Jesus, doing the right thing isn't just following commands, it's taking actions that love God and love neighbor. Hear that? That's not a command, that's not a piece of paper, that's a relationship. Love is a relationship. What is it that I'm going to do in this circumstance that will love God and love my neighbor? If you're one of those people who's you got a bunch of rules, you know, I can do, I can't do, I can do, can't do, can do, can't do, can do, can do. I hope you have a lot of verses memorized to tell you how to live. But just know that at some point in your spiritual journey, Jesus is going to correct you. He's going to thank you for knowing something about holiness, but He's going to tell you that you don't know everything about holiness. You don't know enough about holiness. Holiness is about standing apart. It's about being different. It's about taking actions, not because some preacher told you you had to, not because some Sunday school teacher told you you had to, not because some poster or wall decoration said you had to, but because by doing so, you know your impulse was to make a difference in somebody's life, to share the love you have received, the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's what all our ministries are for here in our church. That's why we serve meal site. Not because we have to, but because we want to make a difference in the lives of people. That's why we serve vets. Now, because the Bible says we have to, there's no verse that says you will serve veterans. What kind of living religion is it that waits for a verse to say I have to do it? We do these things because that's what mercy does. Mercy seeks out need. Mercy finds need. Mercy meets needs. And how do we know that's true? Because Jesus didn't die for us because some rule dictated it. It wasn't some commandment that he read in his youth that said, oh my God, look at that. 20 years from now, I'm going to have to die. Yeah. Don't you hate it when that happens? Jesus did what he did on the cross because love and mercy compelled, drove him to the cross. And because he says to you and me, now go and do likewise. Ah, okay. I must be driven. You must be driven into the needs and the lives of people whose lives we can change. This week, Have an amazing week. Have an astonishing week. Have a week that you just want to smile about. Change somebody's life in the name of the one who changed your life forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh, wow. Mercy is undeserved and it's unexpected and it's, wow. Mercy is what pulls us up out of the ash heap of history, out of the mud pits of life. Mercy is the thing that wasn't on the schedule, but it just happens because it comes from you. And we are to be agents of mercy and compassion. We are to be people who respond to need, not because some rule says, but because we have received mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace. We have been the righteousness has been given to us in Christ, and now we share it just because we have it. So this week, God, may we walk boldly, confidently into the lives of our friends and family and people that we pass. And may, with the confidence of the Christ who is in us, may we respond to the needs that we witness. May we make a difference in the lives of people we encounter. Not because we have to. Not because some preacher said it was the better thing to do. But because mercy is just has been poured out on us. And now we have mercy to give away. May we all have amazing weeks. And may the amazing part of it be that we all make a difference in somebody's life this week. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen.